I see the Lord, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lamb upon the throne, who reigns forevermore. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lamb. Thank you for this moment. Thank you for your word that changes us. All the praise and the glory we give to you. Thank you because of your unction to speak and to teach tonight. Speak as your mouthpiece, ministers of a power that only you can supply. We give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so tonight I'll start off simply. I want to talk about symbols. Symbols of God's word. Symbols of God's word. I like symbols in the Bible. I like, the Bible describes certain things when it talks about the, many times when we read, if we don't do some other studies, we will miss out on revelation. Revelation knowledge simply is birthed through understanding. If you don't understand what you read, then you cannot progress to revelation. Are you with me? That's why when he spoke, Mark chapter 4, Luke chapter 8, Matthew chapter 13, all of them contain the same story, the parable of the sower. And he talked about it and he said, if you don't understand this parable, how will you understand all parables? Meaning that this parable about the kingdom unravels how everything in the kingdom operates. So you have to understand it. And when he spoke about it, he spoke about four categories of people who have encounters with God's word. He described God's word as a seed. That's a symbol. Are you with me? So, but we won't get to all the symbols. I'll deal with three because of time tonight. So we'll talk about more symbols of God's word. Okay, so he described it as a seed, but this is where I'm going for that one as an introduction, is that what you get in the others, you won't get it until you read Matthew 13. So I always like to point out Matthew 13 to people when you read. I like to teach about the parable of the sower from Mark chapter 4. But it starts off with, how many people know the four categories? He said the sower went forth to sow seed. And then first one, seed fell where? Our Bible student, if you know it, you get biscuit. Yeah, seed fell where? Okay, let's increase it. If you know it, you get suya. Seed fell where? If you know it, you get burger. Seed fell where? Sorry, that's the end. I stopped my offer there. I was going to pizza, but I stopped it there. Are you with me? Okay, maybe if I said amala, that would have worked better for some people. You know, this burger you're talking about is not. So, it said the seed fell by the wayside. Am I right? Okay, second category, the seed fell where? On the rocky ground. Third category, the seed fell on among thorns. Okay, and then the fourth one, it fell on good ground, and that produced 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. All the first three did not produce. Okay, so the first one, Matthew 13, is the one that gives us a clear appreciation of what that first one was. All the others explain everything. But then he says, all the others will tell you that the first one, the one that fell by the wayside, is the one that receives the word, and the devil comes and immediately takes away the word that was sown. But that does not help me very much. Okay? So Matthew 13 helps me further because he says it is that person that receives the word but did not understand it. Therefore, the devil takes away that which was sown, meaning that in your study of God's word, the first step to getting it right, your first step to owning it, your first step to getting towards revelation knowledge is what? Understanding what you read. Are you with me? So there was an... there was an Ethiopian eunuch, okay, if you remember in the book of Acts. That's Acts chapter what? Acts chapter 8, I think it was. There was an Ethiopian eunuch, and he was sitting in his chariot. And as he was going in his chariot, he was reading. He was reading from the book of Isaiah. And he was reading that the Bible says he was led like a lamb to the slaughter and reading all of those things that it said about Jesus. And the man did not know what that was. And the Bible says that Philip was brought there supernaturally beside the chariot and was instructed, join yourself to this chariot. And as Philip was moving beside the chariot, he could hear the man reading. I guess the man was reading out loud because he couldn't figure out what this was. So he was led like a lamb to the slaughter. He was, and the guy was just reading and reading out loud. And then Philip peeped and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Are you with me? And the man said, how can I understand except somebody shows me? And then he got in the chariot and he taught the man and explained to him. And once he explained to him that it was about Jesus Christ, the man said, look, what stops me from being baptized? Here is water. And Philip said, well, if you believe. He said, but I believe. And then the man got saved and was baptized. Are you still with me? So understanding is the first step, okay? And very often, many of us will, if we're looking at the scriptures, there are many things that are written in the Bible. Thursday is for serious Bible students, isn't it? So what we're teaching is not necessarily just what I teach. So I may teach three symbols, or I may go through three symbols tonight, but that's not just really why I'm teaching them. I'm teaching it for something that will extend beyond what I said, whether today, whether another Thursday, but something that will extend beyond that, so that when you are reading the Bible, you will stop a little bit and do some studies that will help you understand what you are reading. Are you there? So when you're reading the Bible, you'll find, for instance, that he says that he will make your feet like hinds' feet. What is that? Have you ever tried to figure it out? What is it? When he says, but if I don't know what it means for my feet to be like hinds' feet, how will I believe God for it? How will I thank God for that promise? Are you still there? He said, planted in the house of the Lord, they shall be what? Fruitful and flourishing. He said, they that are in the house of the Lord shall be like cedars of Lebanon. What is that? Are you hearing what I'm saying? So I have to go figure out what is the cedar of Lebanon. When he says that they shall be like the palm tree. Why? What is that? What is so special about the palm tree? Because the palm tree, look, in the midst of scarcity, is the last one to die. It finds food where there is none. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's why when you look in the Middle East, where there is desert, palm tree is their symbol. It is a tree that will survive where there is scarcity. Are you with me? So, bringing that back to God's word. Symbols of God's word is what I'm talking about tonight. I just give you a little extension so that you will understand. Bringing that back to God's word, there are also certain symbols that are used to refer to God's word. I mentioned one already. I mentioned seed. Okay, and what happens is that if you will take your time to stay back and even meditate upon what it says, it tells you what God's word is or should be to you. Are you with me? Dr. T.L. Osborne said, he went to India. He went to India as a teenager, as a missionary to India, he and his wife. I think he was about 18, his wife was 17 or something. In those days, those guys got married very early. So he went to India. You know, very zealous for the Lord, felt called to go to the field, mission field. So he went off. And he said for, I think, about a year or so, they were there. He said they could not win one person to God, to Christ. He said, it was just impossible, difficult. He said, and he would preach to them. And then he would tell them, you know, this is God's word. The Bible is God's word. He said the people too would lift up their Quran and say, this is God's word. He said, because you look at it, you say, oh, it's leather bound. They say this one too is leather bound. He said, so he struck him that, how do I convince these people that there's a difference? So actually, the way he tells the story, he said, we came back defeated. And they encountered the miraculous, saw people, attended meetings of people who had the anointing and were into the miraculous, until one day they attended one, or they tried to attend several, the people died before they did. He wanted to attend Ketrikuma's meeting, Ketrikuma died before. He wanted to attend, I think, Charles Price died. He wanted to attend one, the guy died before he could attend the meeting. He said, finally, I attended one person's meeting, and he was watching as the miracles were happening, and he was hearing, you can do the same. And he went away fasting and praying and believing God, and that's how he stepped into the miracle ministry and has now gone back around the world, done crusades all over. He's dead now himself, but done crusades all over. In fact, somebody was referring to him, and he said, T.L. Osborne said that he never was able to complete a single sermon outside of the U.S. because miracles will break out before he finishes. But what am I saying? If you don't know what the Bible is, it will be just a book. Are you getting what I'm saying? It will be just a book. And that means that its ability to produce for you will be limited. Okay? That's why in Mark chapter 4, Jesus was speaking there, Mark chapter 4, verse 24. He said, take heed what you hear. All right? Maybe you should open that. Mark chapter 4, verse 24. Are you with me? I said, are you here? Okay, so you are worried about time. Don't worry, I'll finish by 9. Not a problem. Are you with me? Don't you love the Lord? Eh? Partially. Eh? No, we don't. Why do you need to go anywhere? No work tomorrow. It's a public holiday, amen? Uh-huh. So we can stay here. Some people have been crying for night vigil. Why not today? Are you still there? We can do it today. Hallelujah. So it says in Mark chapter 4, verse 24, then he said, he's Jesus, then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. I like to read you the Amplified on that one. It says, be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will determine the measure of virtue and knowledge that it returns to you. I'm trying to lay a foundation to tell you that how you handle the word determines what it produces for you. Are you with me? Go to Luke chapter 8. So really, very often, people say, oh, you know that thing that he was preaching the other day, I tried it, it didn't work. No. The word tried you, you did not work. Okay? Because it's the measure of thought and study you give to the truth that you hear or you study. That's what determines the measure of virtue. Virtue is power. The measure of power and knowledge that the word returns back to you. It's the kind of attention that you give to it that determines what it gives back to you. It means that we all can sit there. In fact, we can own the same kind of Bibles. Okay? You can do a social, is it? They call it social experiment. We can do a social experiment and buy everybody the same kind of Bible. And tell everybody to read that same kind of Bible, leather bound, burgundy color. Have you? Made by the same publisher. And ask everybody, this is your Bible for 1 year. At the end of 1 year, the results will be different. People's faith levels will be different. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The testimonies will be different. What really makes that difference is the measure of thought and study. That is, when you open that Bible, how do you see it? What do you think you are doing? Okay, if you are opening it and studying because you want to be able to say, I'm a Christian, I read my Bible every day, then that is the result you get. You'll be able to say, I am a Christian, I read my Bible every day. And that's where it stops. If you are reading that Bible to say, hey, this book is going to change my life, it begins to work in a different way. Are you following what I'm saying? Luke chapter 8, are you there? Luke 8 verse 18. Again, therefore, take heed what? How? Can I hear you say how? So here it didn't say what, he said how. So the how is important. Take heed how you hear, For whoever has to him more will be given, and whoever does not have even what he seems to have will be taken from him. So how you hear, how you approach, how you study is going to make a world of difference. So in talking about symbols, or in starting to talk about symbols tonight, is to help us to begin to shape how we hear, how we study, how we approach God's word. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because if we then begin to see differently, it will make a difference in the kind of results that we get. So the first one, the word of God is described as bread or food. Abby, go to Matthew chapter 4. It's described as bread or food. How many people like bread here? You like bread? How many people are the Abby, what do you call them? Wacky? Abby, is it wacky? Yeah. How many people have eaten all kinds of bread burgers before? Who are the experienced bread eaters? You've had suya burger? You've had akara burger? Beans burger? Moin moin burger? They're risky. Risky burger. Very good. You see, you know XP. When you say XP, you know it. There's granite burger. Are you there? So the word of God is described as bread or as food. So Matthew chapter 4, we'll see where that comes up. Matthew chapter 4. And if you describe something as bread, what would you be thinking about? If I said this is like bread to you, what does it bring to your mind? This is like food to me. This will bring me satisfaction. Are you hear what I'm saying? This will fill me up. Even if I had this and I had no food, I would be full. Are you there? This has the capability of making me feel content. Are you getting the point? Okay, so Matthew chapter 4, that's where it comes up. He said, then Jesus was led, verse 1, Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Please realize that he says that afterward he was hungry. So there was real hunger, original hunger. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But then Jesus says what? But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You know, it's interesting that description is there. I'm going to read you several translations of that scripture in a short while, and I'm sure that for me always makes a difference. Okay, when Jesus was referring, when he said this, he was referring to something that is scripture from the book of Deuteronomy. Okay, and in the book of Deuteronomy, the Bible was talking about, that's Deuteronomy 8. He said God humbled them. He was referring to their encounter with manna. Okay, their encounter with manna. I'm sure most of you know about that. That when they were in the wilderness, they had nothing to eat. And then God said what? I'm going to send food. I'm going to drop food down every morning. Just go out to the field and you collect it. What it was, nobody knew. We had referred to it as bread, but not quite. The Bible says manna means what is it? So they didn't know what it was, but they were able to pack it and eat. Okay, so when they saw it, they were saying, oh, manna, 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 meaning what is this? What is this? They didn't know what it was. Okay, they had never eaten it before. However, it was very satisfactory. And then God gave them an instruction, and he said, you are going to pack these things for 6 days. And when you are going to collect for 6 days, okay, are you following what I'm saying? He said, when you are going to collect for 6 days, each day of those 6 days, collect just enough for you. Remember, they are in the midst of the wilderness, had nothing to eat, had nowhere to get any food from. How many people know wilderness? Because sometimes we don't use these terms. You know wilderness. Wilderness is the middle of nowhere. It's like you are just out there. You are not in a forest, not a forest. Okay? In the forest, you will find animals to kill and eat. You are not in the forest. You will find fruit to pluck and eat. They were not in the forest. Wilderness is like you are just on bare ground in the middle of nowhere. So there is nothing to buy, no fishing to be done, no hunting to be done, no fruit to pluck up and eat anywhere. And they were starving and saying, well, you brought us out of Egypt to die here. Okay, now this background is important for you to understand how these statements comes out. Okay, this background is important. So they said, look, while we're stopping here, and then God says, I'm going to send down food. From where? God said, I'm going to give them food. He said, but this is the instruction. This is the amount of food you pack for each person. So in each household, if you are two people, you pack this amount times two. If you are four people, you pack this amount times four. Don't pack more than enough. He said, because every single day, I'm going to give you fresh food. Okay? And he said, again, according to my instruction about observing the Sabbath, which is a day of rest. God said, on the sixth day is the only day I permit you to pack double. Because on the seventh day, that food will not be there. Now, you know what happened? The first day. So they go out. And then they saw this thing. They say, when we have been starving? So they look left, right. They packed. We have bring the other bag. They packed some more in the other bag. Extra. God said, don't take any extra. I'm going to feed you every single day. Okay? They packed extra. Then they woke up the next morning. The extra had worms. What they packed that they kept that they will eat the next day, in case the thing didn't show up like God said. Just in case there was power failure in heaven. You understand? Because you never know. Or there was a strike action by the Union of Angels. You understand that? He said, we no go agree. So he said, just in case, let's pack it. We know God is serious, but we don't know about all the other people who walk in heaven. You understand? So just in case, we pack extra. So the next day, when they opened the extra, it had worms were coming out of it. But there was fresh food on the field. And God said, I told you not to do that. Why? He said, I wanted to prove to you that it is not the food that you get that will feed you. It is my word that feeds you. Are you still there? That's where this came from. The background is that God was saying, hey, when I say it, that is more than enough to fill you and satisfy your life with everything that you need. My word is the more important thing than even the bread on your table. If you don't have the bread, but you have my word, you have what you need. That's what God was trying to say. He was saying, my word is the one that will produce the bread. Are you there? I said, are you there? Okay, so let me read you some versions of our scripture. So you, now that you understand that, it also means that my approach to God's word is very serious. Are you with me? My approach to God's word is very serious. I take it that the only problem I have is not the lack of anything. The only lack that is my problem is a lack of God's word on any matter. Are you following what I'm saying? The only lack I have is a lack of God's word on any matter. That the moment I have God's word on the matter, I have everything I need. Are you still there? So many times when I'm praying about something, I'm waiting on God. What's your word? What's your word in this situation? And many times, once I have his word, I hear him, I'm studying the scriptures, a scripture comes alive, or I just hear God speak forth in my spirit, that settles it. The matter is done. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The money will come. Whatever I need, he's coming. I don't need anything in the physical. I just need to have his word. Are you still there? So Matthew 4, I'm going to read you translations, some different translations now. Matthew 4. So it says what? God's word is like bread or like food. Hallelujah. Passion Translation, Matthew 4:4. He answered, that is Jesus answered, and he said, the scriptures say, bread alone will not satisfy, but true life is found in every word which constantly goes forth from God's mouth. True life is found in every word that constantly goes forth from God's mouth. The ERV version, easy to read. Jesus answered him, "The scriptures say, it is not just bread that keeps people alive." Hallelujah. It is not just bread that keeps people alive. Their lives depend on what God says. It's not just bread that keeps people alive. Their lives depend on what God says. The last version I'll read you, Message Translation. It says, Jesus answered by quoting Deuteronomy, saying, "It takes more than bread to stay alive." Oh, glory be to God. Are you there? It takes more than bread to stay alive. It takes a steady stream of words from God's mouth. And I've said it before, you know, many times I mean, those days, thank God for these days we live in. These are good days, amen. Good days, when things are easier to access. Back in the days, you will have to work hard to get God's word. You know, when you talk about Reverend Miko Amosuka and how he was representative of Rema in Nigeria, and he would get the tapes. He had copyright. He could copy the tapes for you and all that. He was about the only person there was. Very often, I'll just get up some days and I'm like, I'm hungry. And that hunger is not any hunger. It's God's word I'm looking for. I want to hear teachings. I want to hear, you know, somebody teach God's word and all that. And I'm like, I'm hungry. So I go to people, I ask them, "You have food?" My friends got used to it. When I said, "You have food," they know. "Oh, I just got some tapes. Please, let me have it." Amen. You know, I'm hungry. And I remember one day I went to his office, Koinonia Ministries, there in Ibadan, Ibadan. And I went to book some Kenneth Copeland tapes. And when I got there, they said the tape, we also had copier sometime in the past. He said the tape copier was bad. So I made my bookings. I looked at the list. I wrote down what I wanted. I paid. I came back. You know, 1 week later, it wasn't done. So the guy said, "Oh, sorry, the tape copier broke down. They couldn't copy it. I should come back, you know, the following week." I went back again the following week. Sorry, the tape copier has not been fixed yet. So I told the guy, I said, "Please, I beg, I'm hungry." I said, "I'll bring my own radio. And I will copy it. I will sit down here in your office. I will copy it myself. I will still pay you the money. I don't care about the money, but I want the tapes. So I will pay you full amount, full fledged, but I will use my own deck." You know, deck. Yeah, people had deck in those days. My God. Wow. Now, wow, times have changed, though. So I said, "I'll bring my deck and I will copy it myself in your office. I will sit here from when you open to when you close and copy as many as I can until I'm done. And I leave the money. I don't care about the money." Yeah, I said, "No, sorry, it's not allowed." Hallelujah. I said, "Hallelujah." Let me close that symbol on Job 23. Job 23. And this is, okay, maybe we'll do one more. Job 23. Are you getting anything this evening? Job 23. So every time you look at God's word, look at it as bread or food. Look at it remembering that he said people don't stay alive simply because they are eating food. They stay alive because they are eating God's word. You don't get real life just because you ate amala or you ate whatever. No. That will not satisfy. That will not give you what you need to survive life. Are you still there? Somebody said, as bread is to your body, so the word of God is food to your spirit. So the word of God is food to your spirit. And we know that a man's spirit will bear his infirmities. So when the spirit is weak, the man is weak. Are you with me? So you have to feed the spirit. And he said, some people will wonder and say, "Why? Why am I so weak spiritually?" And he said, "Because it's because you feed yourself 3 meals a day, but you feed your spirit 1 snack a week." Are you with me? You don't grow strong spiritually because you read one verse of the Bible every week. You need to feed on it like food. You need to see it like food and feed on it like food. You need to wake up in the morning and decide, this thing has to be fed upon the same way that I desire food, and I think that food is essential for my life. How many people think that eating is essential? You think it's essential to eat food? Only one person. Wow. Hallelujah. What an amazing group of people. Eh? No, you know my next step and resolution was that I'm going to visit all of you. Whatever food I find in your cupboard, I will take. Because you don't consider food to be important. Me, I do. Are you still there? But the same way that you consider it important is the way that God's word is symbolized by food, trying to tell you that this is also very important. Can I have an amen? So, Job 23, are you there? I read very quickly from verse 8. He said, look, I go forward, he's not there. And backward, I cannot perceive him. That's verse 8. When he walks on the left hand, verse 9, I cannot behold him. That's Job was talking about God. He says, when he turns to the right, I cannot see him. But he knows the way that I take. Whether I can see him, feel him, or whatever, or not, he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and not turned aside. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth. This is my emphasis. I have done what? Treasured the words of his mouth more than what? My necessary food. I have treasured the word of his mouth more than my necessary food. I like the fact that he called food necessary. He said, but as necessary as food is, I consider God's word to be more necessary. Amen. So you know, one of the resolutions we used to make in those days was that there's no way we were going to eat except we first studied God's word. It doesn't matter what time we wake up. If you like, sleep at, I wake up at 12. The first thing is sit with God's word. If you don't do it, you don't eat. You know, they say the one that does not walk should not eat. We say, no, the man that does not study the word should not eat. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Are you tired? Let's take just one more. I'll spare you. Amen. I said, amen. Number two, symbol. The word of God is referred to as a mirror. James chapter 1. It's called a mirror. Can I hear you say mirror? How many people know mirrors? How many people like mirrors? How many people have a mirror? Even these small girls have mirror. you know, when I progress, they know mirror, yes, everybody. And you like mirror, then you have mirror. The men dropped out. The last step, I don't even need to go there. How many people have mirrors here? Yes. A girl, how many people have mirrors here? Yes, it has to be a lady. If it's a man, we have to question him. Amen. Hallelujah. So James chapter 1, are you there? Verse 22. It says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So in there somewhere is that symbolism. So it was comparing and saying God's word is like a mirror. And if you are not a doer, you are not a doer because you look in that word and you forget what you look like. Did you get that? If you are not a doer, the word will not work for you. You will see no results, no impact, no results, no outputs of God's word. And the reason why you are not a doer is because you are like somebody who looked in the mirror and forgot what he looked like. Are you with me? I said, are you with me? What is that saying to me? That God's word shows me who I am. Why do people use mirrors? because you can't quite see very well what you look like. You know, when I go out to events, really, but when I go to events, Owambe, you know, and all that, parties and things, you get all these paparazzis who will come and they say, they want to snap you. I say, my friend, don't bother. I say, no, you are looking good, let me snap you. I say, I can recognize myself. I don't need any picture. Of course, that's not why he's taking the picture, but I'm just telling him, why do I want to be looking at myself? You understand? Why do I want a picture of myself to be looking at myself? For what? You can immediately guess that I don't like selfies. You know, I'm thinking, why am I looking at myself? What am I looking at? You know, but why do you look at a mirror? Because you can't quite see. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Have you ever gone out before, anybody, honestly, have you ever gone out before and there was the mark of the stew on your shirt or blouse? The mark of the correct stew that you just enjoyed was sitting nicely on your clothes and you had no clue. Anybody? Until somebody said, what's this thing? And then the moment they say, what is this thing? And you do like this. Then you saw it. What happened? Embarrassment. Sometimes you are too far away from home to go change. You know what I'm talking about. So there's real wahala at that point. At that point, you are deciding whether the day ends now. And you just make your way back, if you know what I mean. Now, why couldn't you see it? Because you had no mirror. Are you getting what I'm saying? You thought you knew what you look like, but you are not exactly what you look like. So hear this. 2 Corinthians 5, for instance, verse 17 says, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, the word behold is simple. It means take a very good look. I always like to point out that when it says take a very good look, it means that there is a very good chance that I'm not going to see what that new creature looks like. Okay? There's a good chance that I'm not seeing what the new creature looks like. The old has passed away. All things have become new. I'm still seeing myself the way I was before. I'm still seeing myself with an anger problem. I'm still seeing myself with all the family problem, all the cause in the family. Oh, the people in our family, they die of heart problem. In our family, nobody lives to be 45. In our family, you know, I'm still seeing myself. I'm born again, but I can't see who I am in Christ. He said, the scripture is like a mirror. Can I hear you say mirror? So when I'm looking at it, it's reflecting to me who the real me is now in Christ. It's beginning to show me that this is who you really are. You know what the Bible says? It says, and you are complete in him. You are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. You are complete. So do you see yourself as complete? If you don't, you need to spend more time in front of the mirror. Are you getting what I'm saying? I said, are you there? If he says that he became poor so that you might be rich, it means you are rich now. If you don't think so, spend more time where? In front of the mirror. If he says by his stripes you were healed, it means you are healed now. If it doesn't seem so to you, spend more time in front of the mirror until the image of who you are is strongly imprinted on you. Then doing the word or acting like the word of God is true becomes automatic because you are carrying an image that you have seen and is stuck in your head. That's why it talks about be transformed by the word renewal of your mind. So spend enough time in front of that mirror. It helps you to see who you are now in Christ Jesus. Can I have an amen? So if you go back to James chapter 1, so now don't miss out how he concludes it in James chapter 1. Don't miss out how he concludes it in James chapter 1 and verse 25. It says, but he who looks. Okay, so what do you need to do with the mirror? So I was asking questions earlier. It says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and does what? Continues in it. Can I hear you say continues in it? He says, and he's not a perfect, a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in whatever he does. So when I asked it, I progressed to what? Who has a mirror? Then I got to where? Who has a mirror here? Why do people carry mirrors around? Because they want to continue. Continue to see that image. Every time they get a chance, they look again and check. The makeup is still there. Everything is still in place. My tie sits in the middle. It's unusual, but that's what they want to see. You get what I'm talking about? Continuing in it, continuing in it, continuing in it. He said the one that continues in it will be blessed in whatever he does. Why? Because he sees constantly, never forgets who he is in Christ. Can I have an amen? Let me say this as you go to Matthew 7 and I try to close. Let me say this. Did you know that people do not look at the mirror in order to see what their neighbor looks like? How many people know that? You know that. That you don't go to look in the mirror to see what your next door neighbor looks like. Abi? The mirror is for who? You want to see yourself. So you should not be studying the word thinking, kai, 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 this is Muji's problem. Oh. Ah! Kai, I think I will forward this to Muji. I mean, or as it's been preached, you immediately lift your head from the Bible and they say something from the scripture, you lift your head, you look. Ah! Kule wa. My God, where is Kule today? These things for him, oh. Ah, these things for him. Love your neighbor, oh, as yourself. Why didn't he come now? Oh, my God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The mirror is for who? So you look in the mirror to see what you can and are supposed to do. Not what somebody else is meant to do. Are you still following what I'm saying? So a man, for instance, even in marriage, a man looks in the mirror and he's thinking, she needs to submit to me. And the woman is also looking in the mirror and she's saying, you see, she's supposed to love me as Christ loved the church. That's how he's supposed to love me. What are you doing? You are looking in the mirror to see the other person. Are you following what I'm saying? You are not looking in the mirror to see yourself. When you look in the mirror, you are looking at yourself. You should be looking at yourself. Looking out for yourself. What am I supposed to do? How does this apply to my life? What am I supposed to change? Are you still there? You're not listening, studying for somebody else. So when I counsel people, I spend time, they tell me things, you know. I mean, whether church matter or even secular, and people are reporting somebody or the other, and I'm talking to this person who is reporting something, and I'm telling the person what they needed to do or they still need to do. And very often they go, you are not talking about that person. I say, why should I? He's not here. She's not here. Why should I? I said, the only person that can change anything right now is you. You can't change that person. But you can change yourself. So if there is something you can do, that's what I will focus on here. When I'm done with you, if need be, I will go talk to that person as well. And when I'm talking to that person, I'll not be talking to them about you. I'll be talking to them about them and what they can do. Because it's a waste of our time and effort to be thinking about somebody else and what they need to do, because you are not them. I mean, so you can't sit there and be thinking for me. This is what I'm supposed to do. Is you me? Are you there? Eh? Or is me you? Hallelujah. Are you with me? Matthew chapter 7. Very quickly, let's wrap it up. Matthew chapter 7. So look at it. 7 verse 1. It says, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite. remove the plank from your eye and remove the speck from your brother's eye. Huh? Is that what it says? I remove some very important words in that verse 5. It says in verse 5, hypocrite. First. Can I hear you say first? So you deal with yourself. He said, first, remove the plank from your own eye. Then you will see clearly. And you can help your brother to remove the speck. He used those words particularly. That the plank is bigger than the speck. He said, so you have not dealt with yourself. You are pointing finger at somebody else. That's what he's saying. That until you deal with yourself, you are probably not seeing right to deal with the other person. Jump to verse 12. It says, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. So we're talking about how you treat people and how people treat you. So he said, well, whatever you want men to do to you, you do it also. I think it's the Message translation that says, yeah, whatever you want people to do unto you, take the initiative and do it first. Take the initiative and do it first. So I'm talking about the fact that the word of God is like a mirror. And when you are looking at it, spend your time prayerfully studying God's word and saying, how does this apply to my life? How am I supposed to change? What am I supposed to do with what I studied today? So when every day you study God's word, ask yourself, how does this apply to me? Are there changes I'm supposed to make in my life? Are there things I'm supposed to start doing? Are there things I'm supposed to stop doing because of what I studied this morning? Are you hearing what I'm saying? And that's how God's word begins to work for you as a person. Of course, you'll see in that God's word, I mean, as a mirror, one of the important things you need to study is to look at the scriptures. What, I mean, again, we'll call the in him scriptures. Is to look at every scripture. When you get to the New Testament, you know, and New Testament now I'm referring to everything from the book of Romans. Okay, and you see scriptures that say in him, in whom, by whom. That's telling you what? It's telling you who you are as a new creature. In him we have, in him we, in whom we, you know, so it's telling you this is who you are now. This is what you have now. So all of those things also in terms of promises, because the word of God is a mirror, is trying to show you who you are in Christ. And you need to spend time prayerfully meditating on such scriptures. Can I have an amen? Hallelujah. So tonight we've been talking about what symbols of God's word. And we've dealt with two. We've talked about the word of God as bread or food. And we've talked about the word of God as a mirror. Hallelujah. Let's stand on our feet. And the more we know, the more we pay attention to these symbols, it should change our relationship with the word of God. It should change our relationship with the word of God. When we look at these symbols, when we meditate upon the symbols, it should change how we see God's word. Begin to talk to God tonight. I think God's word is so precious. I think it's absolutely precious. Thank him for his word. I don't know what we will be. I don't know what I will be without his word. That word has changed me tremendously. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 16 says that when we behold the glory of God as in a mirror, we are transformed into the same image. The Amplified says, when we behold the glory of God in God's word as in a mirror, we are transformed into the same image. So what we study, as we open the Bible and we study it, we become more like it. We become more like the Christ that we read about in that Bible. Changes begin within us. Father, we give you praise. We thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your word. So precious. So precious and life-changing. Glory to glory is changing me. Changing me. Changing me. His image and likeness to perfect in me. The word of God. Hallelujah. Kenya said, I give him wahala on Thursdays, that I come up with songs that he has never heard before. Yeah? the Lord will give you special unction. Amen. So Father, we give you praise. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.